So you kind of read this story, and they wouldn't read a story about life skills, but they will read a story about, saving magical whatever, and they learned the life skills in the book.
You are listening to You Are a Lawyer. I'm Kyla Denagno, and let's get right into today's episode. So, Michael Alder, welcome to the You Are a Lawyer podcast. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. So we were just chatting a little bit offline about how you are from Louisiana and you're a little bit of a rancher. We have to get right into that.
Well, I grew up in the South in Louisiana, son of a preacher, teachers and preachers, and really loved my childhood. I went to college at LSU, law school at LSU, clerked for a year in Mississippi for the Supreme Court of Mississippi. But then I moved to Los Angeles, and I've been here for 30 years. And, the first 15, 20 years, I just dove into becoming the best lawyer, et cetera, et cetera. And it's really, I got a divorce and I got remarried, and my current wife, my only wife that will ever be, really pushed me to say, why don't we have a place there? And so over the last several years, we bought a ranch and we go back now once a month. I've been licensed there since I got out of law school, and really have embraced 50 acres, animals. I just last week was there and built four raised planter boxes, driving the tractor around, having a great time. And it's a wonderful place to be. And when we bring people there, which we do all the time, especially people who have never been to the country or to the South, they're just like, this is awesome. I'm like, hey, man, I need you to the back 40. And they're like, I didn't come all the way here to be your gardener. I'm like, trust me. And sure enough, 5 hours later, they get off the lawnmower, the 360, and they're like, that was like the greatest experience of my life. And I'm like, I get it. I get it.
What was the appeal that drew you to California? Because you're from Louisiana. You went to law school in Louisiana.
So really, I had no clue. I mean, I didn't know any lawyers. I wasn't going to be a lawyer. And it wasn't, I was in college at 18 years old. And I met a woman who, she asked me, what do you want to do? And I was drunk on the front lawn of a fraternity party. And I'm like, I'd like to have another beer. How about you? And she's like, I'm going to law school. And then I'm moving to Los Angeles and I'm going to be an entertainment lawyer. And I'm like, oh, all right. And so we got married a year later. I got married when I was 19, believe it or not, and went to law school together, then moved to LA. And sure enough, she became an entertainment lawyer. I established myself and then my practice and had two children, split up, got divorced, got remarried, inherited two beautiful bonus daughters. And then my wife, Gina, and I have two little boys through surrogacy. Surrogate process, just a beautiful thing. And so now 6 kids later, it's a wonderful life.
Yeah, I see them bouncing around in the back.
We're actually going to pick up his sisters. We were going to go to the ranch in Louisiana yesterday for this week. And, stuff happened. It happened. You just adjust and change is always happening. So get over it and deal with it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. So for everyone that's watching on YouTube, you see this is a family show, all about the kids, all about family life. We record around real life, right? This is a real podcast.
Yeah, we're in LA and I don't know if you can see, I'm in the Valley, Sherman Oaks, for anybody who knows Los Angeles. But we're headed out to go pick them up in Pasadena. And then there's an arboretum, which is like a huge LA arboretum garden, whatever. We're just going to walk around and... you never have a chance to go. You're always like, I'll go do that next week. I'm like, well, now we're like, okay, I'm like the present. Let's do it. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Michael, you're a trial attorney, which means that you go to court, you represent people. Are you still actively going to court, or are you in more of a managing lawyer role?
Well, I hope the jury that I was with 2 weeks ago for a month thinks that I'm still active. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm a very active trial lawyer. I love it. I do it. I just finished a month-long trial in San Francisco in a little different area than I normally have done. Toxic contamination, groundwater contamination, huge litigation that I was asked to get involved in, because I normally have, I grew up kind of as a trial lawyer doing personal injury, wrongful death, slip and fall. Then people asked me to do some of their employment trials, and I started doing that. And so now I've developed an employment practice. And then a year and a half ago, the main trial lawyer in this big environmental case had a medical emergency. And so they went searching for a trial lawyer and brought me in. I've tried two of them. There's like 25 sites, and the first one was a $60 million verdict. We just won the second one. I mean, you know, it's like, oh, switching directions. All right, let's go. So it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. When I was preparing for the call, I was like, okay, you've recovered almost $2 billion for your clients.
Yeah, not all last week. I mean, it's been over 23 years, and those are all real numbers for real people, which is very gratifying.
Yeah. Okay. So let's change subjects just a little bit and talk about being a published author. Most lawyers love words. We love all the stuff. What made you get into writing formally?
Are you referring to 10% Magic? Or are you referring to the Trial Lawyer's Bible or all of the above?
All of the above, but we can start with 10% Magic.
I think I mentioned I was raised as a preacher's kid, right? My parents were God-fearing people, and I wasn't for a while as I rebelled, but now I am. And one of the things that rubbed off, luckily, was giving and thinking about, you know, you treat others as you would like to be treated, and really trying to look for opportunities to give or to help. It's just kind of the way we live, and it's a good way to live. But I say that because COVID happened, and like everywhere, it just shut down everything. And the YMCAs that we all know about, the swimming pools and the gyms and here all pivoted to basically giving food away and supplies, et cetera. And my wife Gina's good friend was involved in one of the Ys, and we really pivoted strongly to that and gave a lot of money, gave our time, gave a lot of different things. And in East LA, a lot of young girls would come up to my wife, who's a lawyer, beautiful, you know, vivacious, and they're like, how are you a lawyer? What? Wasn't even in their frame of reference. And Gina's like, well, why don't you come to the office, come see whatever. And we realized that many of these young girls had never been to a high rise, don't know how to park, don't know how to get in an elevator, are intimidated by having to pay for parking or to tip or to just all these different things that, you know, for many of us who have been taught this, it's like second nature. But if you've not been exposed to it, and it's a big impediment to, you know, moving up in your career, in your world, etc. And so we got an account at SurveyMonkey, and we asked a bunch of friends of ours who are principals and teachers to have their middle school kids fill out a survey on, we gave them like a $10 Amazon gift card if they did it. And what kind of stuff do you like to read? And Harry Potter-ish, sci-fi all came up. And so we hired a ghostwriter and really spent a lot of time with her in building this sci-fi magic, you got to save the world, save your parents, save yourself. But to do it, you kind of trick them into life skill learning. So they had to make a grocery list, rent an apartment, write a check, you know, balance a budget, find out their FICO score. So you kind of read this story, and they wouldn't read a story about life skills, but they will read a story about, you know, saving magical whatever. And they learned the life skills in the book. And so that's the kind of the 10% magic impetus. And, you know, multicultural protagonists with English and Spanish. And
I was telling you before we started recording, like, the whole point of this podcast is just that lawyers are so much more than just their jobs and their careers, right? But then also the life skills, one of those soft skills that we have that you may not think about all the time, you know, knowing how to network with other people, how to do small talk, how to be in a high-rise building without, you know, being all shocked and like staring out the window and like, oh my gosh, look at, like, how to just get comfortable with being around things. Yeah.
And, you know, I do as much as I can. And, you know, as a mid-50s white Southern male, I mean, there's certain groups of young kids that are like, don't listen to me. I mean, they're like, I don't even know who you are. But I understand that, and I reach my people who I can reach, and my wife, Latina from East LA, she can reach a whole different group of people, and then we search out relationships to help expand a good message that is accepted by as many different people and in groups as possible. We've met incredible people. We love what we do. It's really nice.
So from the life skill books for, middle schoolers, children, to the Trial Lawyer's Bible, why did you decide to take all of your skills and knowledge and write the Trial Lawyer's Bible?
So I had what I called was a trial lawyer's guidebook for many years. That was me writing an article that I used to give away every year at a big legal convention on quick and easy hits on different litigation networks. And I put it together in a little book. And then again in COVID, because I mentor a lot of less experienced lawyers, notice I didn't say young because that means I'm old and that's not the language I want to use. I started a Zoom Alder Talk, which is now a YouTube channel, etc. And I would give advice on how to maximize your cases. And I would talk about my internal firm written strategies and thoughts that I have created. If you do this, if this happens, and we republished it and we provide it to anybody who wants a copy.
You were giving away the knowledge for free just as you were going to conferences and mentoring others. Is the book available for free? Or I mean, like, minus your
Yeah.
publishing? Okay. All right.
Well, we experimenting. We did a thing where, hey, you can have it for free if you donate to our charities, you know, $20 or whatever. And people did that, but we found like it, you know, there were certain people who could benefit from it, who wouldn't spend that money. So we give it for free, and if people want to donate, they can. If they don't, no problem. We created a 501c3. We use those donations primarily for things like buying food through the YMCA, or when, you know, buying meals from local restaurants that had a hard time, just a lot of different things. It's not, and we focus on 100% of the donations being used for actual donations, not for, you know, whatever they call that percentage of administrative. Ours is zero.
Okay. All right. Very cool. All right. So on this podcast, about 70% of the audience are either law students or young lawyers, so 5 years practicing or less.
Great.
And what advice would you have for young lawyers about what they can do with their law degrees?
First of all, reach out. I hope that there'll be an opportunity through this for me to have my email, my cell number, my social media, my YouTube. My wife, Gina's does the same, and she's very, very, she has a whole women's empowerment. And I say all that because we have learned that relationships are everything, especially as you're getting, you know, started in a career. And I am an adjunct at Loyola Law School here, and I teach a class on litigation skills, but at least half of my class is on life skills. And don't be too proud to ask for help. Step outside your comfort zone and reach out to people that are offering you help. Don't let yourself mind chatter talk you out of reaching out to a me or a Gina, because we can help you. And the worst thing that can happen if you reach out is somebody not respond back. Who cares? Treat that as just an experience, not as an identity. Your ability to be uncomfortable and to step into a discomfort and outside your comfort zone, many times by reaching out to people you don't know, asking for help that you're, I don't want to bother them. I don't want to. Stepping outside that comfort zone really is the name of the game in building relationships. And you never know who you meet, right? That next person might be the job, or they know some. I know a million people who are looking for young, you know, lawyers. Even if I don't have a spot, I know people. I can say, use my name, and then reach out to so and so and say, hey, Mike told me that, you know, you are the boss, the bomb, and that I should reach out to you. And then they like, oh, well, if you talk to Mike, well, okay, then let me talk to you. And that's all a relationship, stepping out, asking for help, and being willing to put yourself out there. And that's really what it takes. I mean, look at you. You've taken an initiative, right? You had a thought process that you didn't like one thing you were doing, and you made a change. And now you've created this thing, and you reach out, and you reach out to people that you don't know, and you build relationships, and those build other relationships. And really, it started with you making a decision to step outside of what is comfortable and become more uncomfortable and meet people you don't know, necessarily know. And that's the name of the game in any kind of work that any of us ever do in life.
So your recording is for season 8, and of the 130 lawyers that I've spoken to, I've only actually met 7 of them, because I talk to a Southern grad every single season. But everybody else is just someone from LinkedIn or referral or Facebook or wherever. So, yeah.
Right. I've been to Southern a million times. It's a small world.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Michael. This was wonderful. And would you share with everybody your email address and your phone number? And I'll make sure I put that up on the screen.
So my cell number, 310-710-3345. Email is cmalder@alderlaw.com. And my YouTube channel is called Alder Talk. And so subscribe there, reach out, text, email. Happy to respond.
Absolutely. So you guys heard it here first, all right? He's telling you, reach out to him.
I'm telling you, your inclination is not to do it, to say, I don't want to bother him. They'll never respond. It's not worth it. I got other things. Whatever your mind is telling you to convince you not to do it, stop and just do it.
Just do it. Absolutely. Yep. Well, thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Talk to you later.
Bye. Thank you for listening to You Are a Lawyer. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend and leave a rating of this podcast. New episodes are released every week. So keep taking risks in your legal career, and I will talk to you on the next episode. Bye.